Today's Mishnah is Perek Chet in Negoyim, Mishnah Vav. So we have been talking about the dinim of Pricha. And remember our basic yisodot of Pricha, and that is, Pricha can only be metaher you if it is Pricha from a state of either Hezger or Hechlet. You have to be Tamei in order to become Tor from Pricha. But if Pricha comes to you from a state of Tahira, then Pricha is simply a nega like all Negoim. And it's just Pisayon, and it would actually be Metameyu. So that's our first Yesod. Second Yesod, Pricha will even include Pricha of areas that are not themselves really capable of the shiur of a nega tzorat. So our first yisod in Pricha is you're only going to become Torah from a Pricha if the Pricha comes from your first being Tameh. You cannot present initially with a Pricha and expect the Kohen to say, well, this Nega is fine since it covers your whole body. A Nega covering your whole body is a giant Nega. Okay, furthermore, another thing that we learned about Pricha is that every last part of the body that can be covered, has to be covered. Now, this even includes parts that cannot on their own be tame with a nega. For instance, you have a part of the skin that is less than a kadasha. It can't become covered with a nega on its own. Well, that doesn't matter. We're not talking about it's being covered on its own, are we? We're talking about it's participating in a complete covering of Parach Kulo Levan. So over there, even if the part that's left is less than a kadasha, I don't care. The fact is you were not fully covered. Now, the same thing is true, remember, about tips. So we've got 24 tips of various parts of the body. And we said those tips can't become tame on with Negoyim. That doesn't matter. That's because the Kohen can't see the whole thing at one time. But the question of whether tips would be included in a Pricha, of course they are. They will prevent Pricha Bekulo. And what's more, when a tip is once again becomes healthy skin, it may not be a Michya Basar Chai because, well, it's not big enough for a michya. We said before, the Kohen's got to be able to see that michya surrounded by the nega. That doesn't matter. But it still is a contradiction to the pricha. And the moment that the pricha doesn't cover the entire body, at that moment, it becomes tame once again. Not necessarily because we view the left out piece as the equivalent of a michya's basar chai. Now, that question has turned out to be something of a machlokas. We're going to see more of that machlokas later today. And that's the issue about whether ubiyom heiraot bo basar chai yitma. Does that mean that the basar chai is considered to be a michya in the nega tzaras that was previously tahar because it covered your entire body? Or does it mean, well, you're no longer covered by an michya, by a heirat over your entire body because you have some basar chai? Now, the difference between that is if the Torah is saying that a simen tuma, such as a michya, can make even a parach bekulay lavan, can make it tame, then sa'ar lavan should also be able to make it tame as long as the sa'ar lavan came after the nega had already been parach bekulo. Now, that was the machlokas we had in the Mishnah. And we're going to see more of that conceptual machlokas. Is the biyomei raot bo basar chai a type of michya, or is it merely a antithesis to the pricha bekula? And this is going to be an issue later on. Now, today's Mishnah begins with another question, and that is when we talk about pricha being a pricha out of tuma and not a pricha out of taira. Let me ask you something. Suppose a guy has two nega'im, okay? One of these nega'im is tame, so it was already mukhlat. And one of them was literally tahar. I was already mazgirit for 2 weeks. There were no changes. And the Kohen says, oh, this nega is tahar. Now, what happens if these two Negoim spread one into the other? And then they continue spreading over the entire body. So then the person is Tahar. Now, why is that true? Okay, the Bar Tanura says that it's true because of the fact that since when the first nega, and it would be true in either direction, obviously if it spreads from the tummy nega all over the place, I understand that it's true. But what about if it starts spreading from the tahar nega, moves from the tahar nega into the tummy nega, and then continues out through the entire body? So the Bar Tanura says it's still tummy. Why? Well, because the tahar nega, once it spreads, is actually tame anyway, because of pisayon. Therefore, when it spreads over the rest of the body, it is considered to be being spreading mitoch tuma. And spreading mitoch tuma is metayer. Now, that is a desperately wrong approach on the surface. Because, as we know, what the nega does is not what's important. It's what the Kohen is paskin on the nega that's important. So who cares if the nega that was tar started to spread into the nega that's tummy? You're starting to fall asleep there alone. Who cares if the nega spread? The Kohen didn't see it after it spread. Therefore, he couldn't have paskined. And because of that, Richie, you're falling asleep. Therefore, he could not have paskined, okay? And in that case, it's a pricha mitoch taira. So it doesn't really make sense what the Rav is saying. Now, the Tosfos Yontev has an approach in which it makes sense. And even though he thinks he's arguing on the Rav, I think that he's providing an insight into the Rav. So what he's saying is like this, that where you have a pricha from the tahar into the tame, and then you continue growing. What is the continued growth coming from? The point over there is that since had the Kohen seen the nega that was being poreach out of the tahar, he would have been metameit because of pisyon. So therefore, if you're coming to ask me, shall we attribute the pricha to a nega tome or to a nega tohar, now that they have joined together as one nega, I will tell you that now we will attribute it to the nega that was tome, not the nega that was tar. Because the fact is that the pisayon itself is an active expression of tuma and not of tyra. But of course, it's limited to a case where he had two negaim and where they joined up as one before the pricha bekulay. So that explains beautifully what this Mishnah is saying as a special case. Why did we need achas tmea, the achas tahara? Okay, now, we're going to have a bunch of cases over here where you've got negayim that are nearby one another, but the problem is that each one is smaller than the necessary size, and it's less than the gris, and the thing is, though, that it's on a part of the body where the two parts are always held together. So let's say it's on your upper lip and your lower lip. So, I mean, very often the upper lip and lower lip, I mean, your mouth is closed and then the nega is together. Or let's say it's on an upper eyelid and a lower eyelid. So every time you blink, the nega is together. You close your eyes, the nega is together. So how do we look at that? So let's say you have a chatzi gris b'sfato elyona and a half a gris b'sfato atachtona. Or let's say you have a chatzi gris on one of two fingers that are often together and a half a gris on the other of two fingers that are on top together. Or let's say you have a chatzi gris the size of the total gris between your two eyelids. So afapi shemedubakim zeleze v'im nirim ke'achad, even though when they are together, they look like the shear of one nega, and they appear to be one nega, doesn't matter. It's still considered to be tahar because you don't have the shear. Okay, so now that constitutes for us the reason we put this here. I mean, why should it be here? The reason we put it here is the same idea of what is considered to be, in terms of the din of pricha, suitable for normal skin, despite the fact that it cannot contain a nega on its own. So we already talk about parts of the body which together would accommodate a nega, but which don't accommodate a nega separately, and therefore it's not a nega. So now, let's say we have a case where it was porcha bekulo, and it now covered the entire body, but it did not cover a bohak. So now what's the din? A bohak is not normal skin. The din is that he's tummy, because it says, beferish, that it has to be over the entire body, called the basar. Bohak is basar, and it did not cover the bohak. So even though, but the bohak is white, I understand it's white, but it's not white of the type of white that would have made it considered to be a nega in the first place. So, sorry, the guy still is tummy. Now, in another case, where a guy did have a nega, and it went over his entire body, and now the tips of one of the 24 Rosh Evarim turned bohaki. So now you would say, okay, so then by the same token, if a bohak is considered to not be spread over the entire body, so then in this case, it's the classic biyom shniret bo basar chayitma. So then this guy should be yitma. And yet, it says that even here, he's considered to be tahor. How in the world do you get that? Because the question is the bohak considered to be basar chay? Meyom sheyeru bo basar chay? No. But it didn't say basar chay when it says esko basar. So, there's a big difference between the first appearance of the nega that has to cover the bohak and a reappearance of a bohak in the middle of a pricha. Beautiful. Now, in actuality, the chozru bo roshei evarim pachot mikadash. Let's talk about a case where you had a nega that covered his entire body. The kohen said that he was tahor. And then we got the roshei evarim to show up, but they were showing up less than a shear of a ka'adasha. So Rabbi Meir says, in that case, it's mitame, and Rabbi Meir holds, as opposed to what we said before, that that's true even where we're talking about kamin bohak. It's the chachamim say, a bohak that is less than a ka'adasha is considered to remain tuma. It says simen tuma. It means that if the nega spreads over the whole body besides that little piece of skin that's covered by a bohak, he remains tuma. It doesn't mean it's a simen tuma in the classic sense, but he remains tuma for having presented a less than covering a full body pricha. The ein siman tuma besof, but once the guy became tahar, he remains tahar if a bohak was left in its place, because this is not the equivalent of the basar chai that would be metamehim. So this is basically what the Tanakhama had been telling us. Mishnah Zayin in Perek Chet. Okay, so here up until now, we've been talking about a case where we had a psak that turned the guy Tomei, and then the Kohen at Paskin was Tomei, and then he presented that nega as having spread over his entire body. And as we said, that's the case of Pricha. But if somebody presents with Kula Lavan, so Haba Kula Lavan, he first comes to the Kohen presenting a nega that is Kula Lavan. It's treated exactly the same as any other nega. And the Kohen puts him into Hezker for 7 days. And then we see whether there's going to be any Sear Lavan or whether there's going to be any Michya, like on any other Nega. Nobody argues with that. And then if Nolad Lo Sear Lavan, for sure, there's no Machlokas that the Sear Lavan in that case, in a normal Nega that just happens to be a very big Nega that covers his entire body, which is not called a Pricha Lavan, that of course the Sear Lavan is Metame at the way it would be Metame any Nega. The only way that you would then get him to be tahar would be the same way that you would deal with a smaller nega. The Seir Lavan turns black, right? Or one of them turned black. Or both of them got too short to be able to be flipped over, and therefore they're no longer the correct size of Seir Lavan, or to be cut with the scissors. Remember, we had Machlokas about that earlier. Or, I mean, lots of things could happen, you know. One of them could be too short, or maybe Shechin appeared right next to both of them, or right under one of them, right? Then it's no longer called in the Nega. It has to be surrounded by Nega in order to be Seir Lavan, and now it's no longer in the middle of the Nega. It's in the middle of a Shechin. Or maybe a round Shechin went around both of them, or one of them and wasn't in the actual Shechin, or maybe Shechin went between the two and therefore separated the two Sarot from each other. Now they're like in different places, and that's not considered to be Seir Lavan. Or if you had the Michyat HaShechin, or a Mikvah, or a Michyat HaMikvah VaHaBoach, so let's say you had skin that was in the process of healing, either of a Shechin or a Michya, or maybe a boa came in underneath these hairs, or went around the hairs, or separated the hairs. The point is, in any of these cases, the hairs are not in a Baheret. And if they're not both in the Baheret, so now you no longer have a Simen Tumah. Now the Kohen will be able to be Metayer. Now, if a Michya or Seir Lavan in a different location on the body of this person who is Kuloi Lavan, then he'll still be Tame because of the Mikhar. He'll still be Tame because of these new Sa'ara. But in this case, if any of the above listed things happen, bunch of things happen, too short, different colors, in between, Boak in between, Shechin level, Mikvah level, underneath the whatever, and there was no additional, no Lolad Lo, Lo Mikhya, Velo Seir Lavan, so then, and only then, would the person be tahor. Now, we also have questions about a nega that is presented, and it covered the entire body. So it was porach pekula, but it wasn't called pricha, because it had been porach before the kohen saw it. And then, after that, the roshei evorim. So remember, we're talking about the 24 tips in the body. The 24 tips turn back to normal skin. Now, this is a big old question, right? Because where we found that the tips are treated as a siman of tuma was only where the pricha was the reason that the guy was tahor. So since the pricha was the reason that he was tahor, having been tame originally, when any little bit, even a tip, that wasn't itself large enough to be able to be mitame from a nega on its own because of the pasuk of lechomar e enei hakohen, this is a subtle point, and it's central to understanding the whole idea. Wherever the issue was pricha, that was mitaher, then unpricha. What do you mean by unpricha? Well, even a tip turns into normal skin. That's unpricha. It's not michya. It's unpricha. So then unpricha will turn you tummy again. But suppose the source of the tahira was not the pricha. The source of the tahira, get this case, the source of the tahira was the fact that the person whose entire body is white, completely, is not tahor because of pricha. What do you mean? Why then is he tahor? He's tahor because he had a giant nega that covered his entire body, and he went to a kohen, and the kohen put him into hezker for 2 weeks, and there was no change. There was no Seir Lavan, there was no mikvah, everything was fine, right? So this guy is tahor because of pricha? No. The guy is tahor like any nega that didn't change for 2 weeks is tahor. Nothing to do with pricha. So in that case, there's no concept of unpricha. So even though it's exactly the same case in terms of the physical reality that's involved, the issues are entirely different issues, you see. So fine, So we're going to talk about three types of semi-precha ideas. Okay. So the first one is, look, the guy was considered to be tahor because there was no change, like I explained. Then all of a sudden the tips turn normal. Or maybe originally there was actually a seir lavan, or where there's a michya, and he was tummy. And then he was made tahor. And then the tips turned back to healthy. So now over there, the reason that the guy was tahor was because he lost his simanei tuma. It wasn't because of precha. Or suppose what happened was that the guy was in hezger. There was no simon of tuma at all. And then we find that these tips changed at the end of hezger, either hezger rishon or hezger sheni. These are the cases that we're going to be talking about, and they all revolve around this difference between precha and a unprecha versus precha and a simen tuma. So all of the cases that we had, kulam shechazru b'em roshei ha'evarim, all of these kind of negoyim that had originally been seen by the kohen and are now tahor because of the lack of change or because of the loss of their simanei tuma. In all these cases where they have a tip turning back to normal skin, makes absolutely no difference. And they remain exactly the way they were. They remain tahor because they weren't problem. They weren't tahor because of precha. They were tahor because of the fact that they were a nega like any nega, which happens to cover the entire body. Not to be confused with porach kuloi lavan. This is just delicious, right? So if after these tips go normal and now it starts spreading, fine. Then that's considered to be pisayon. Has nothing to do with porach or anti-porach. It's a normal nega that now has normal skin to spread into, and it's spreading. So, pisayon is considered to be a spread. And therefore, he's going to become tame like any other nega that spreads. Makes absolutely no difference. Not only that, even if it spreads over his entire body by covering these tips, it's not going to make him tar because he was tar before it spread. So it's going to be a normal pisayon, and he will be tame. Parcha bekulo, if after it spread, we made him tummy, and then it ends up spreading over all the areas that had changed back, instead of just over one of them, then he becomes star because of precha. Fantastico.